Yeah. All right. So now podcast audio recording. Bang, it's the Facebook Live.
This is fun.
Windows Media Player doesn't even need to be open. Exit.
Yeah. Oh, exit?
Yeah, make... hit the go live on the Facebooks. Right. There, go to the bathroom.
Oh, so you're just gonna leave me?
Yeah, you know how to say words.
What the hell? I have been abandoned. I hope y'all see this. I've been neglected, abandoned. My light skin feelings can't take it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wine Cellar. We are still trying to get into the me hosting thing, so we are working on that. Come hang out with us. It is White on White Wednesday in the Wine Cellar, so we have some fun, outlandish, kind of wild stories of things people are doing. Hopefully, I won't mess this up. I think we're going to be all right. And maybe during the intro, I can invite some friends. So, let's see if I can pull this up and do a show opener and get into some white on white crime in the wine cellar.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I will tell you something, we have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
I don't have one. I need an all right. I need a catchphrase. That's what I should do. Is I should take a poll and see.
Oh no! Nah, don't let other people
do it. Don't let other people do it.
Yeah, advice is horrible.
Advice is horrible. Don't take advice.
No, never. Don't ever take advice.
Don't ever take advice. I don't know if I agree with that because I don't know. I feel like I need a catchphrase at the beginning. I don't have an all right. I'm just like, hey, it's me.
Yeah, that could be it.
Hey. And I think I gave up on the yay. Maybe I should bring the yay back. All right. It's the Wine Cellar, and here's Phoenix Kalita.
Yeah, because it's like this kind of performing is like essentially making a mockery of yourself.
Hmm.
Like when I do the all right,
yes.
It's like basically I'm playing up who I already know I am.
Hmm. Maybe that's my problem. I don't know who I am. I need to do some soul searching.
Do it.
Okay. However, it is White on White Wednesday in the Wine Cellar. I have fun stories. Hopefully this will be more fun than yesterday because Michael Wright isn't giving us bullshit to look at. It's not good for my light skin feelings.
Oh, yeah, and then that there was a thread that continued going with an individual.
Yes.
He works with the youth. He's saving things.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was ridiculous. Michael Wright, your friends suck. I'm sorry. Let's see. Now I have so many tabs open, I gotta find the story. We're starting with what? Oh, Mayor goes undercover in an unexpected way. Yeah. So, Salt Lake City, the mayor went undercover. Would you like to guess as what? No, you don't want to guess as what?
As an undercover cop?
No. Snoop.
And you don't stop?
No. The Salt Lake City mayor went undercover as a homeless man for 3 days because he wanted to understand what the homeless people of the community go through. Apparently, asking homeless people what they go through is not enough to tell you. You actually have to live the experience for a weekend to fully appreciate and understand. All right, so the mayor, Ben...
Wait, 3 days?
3 days.
I can go 3 days without deodorant and not be funky, nigga. You gotta go for a while to get the real experience.
He got the experience. Sort of. Mayor Ben McAdams... Mayor Ben McAdams recently went undercover as a homeless man and spent 3 days and two nights. He couldn't even spend the third night out there. You see that shit? He spent 3 days and two nights walking and sleeping among the homeless in Salt Lake City's Rio Grande neighborhood. McAdams spent one night on the street and one in a shelter. His experience was, quote, shocking on multiple levels. This is so white. The first piece of advice that he got was, don't take off your shoes. The second was, don't go to the bathroom after dark, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. McAdams says that this was, quote, not a publicity stunt, but it was a fact-finding mission. Again, you can ask homeless people. They exist. You can find them. You can just ask them questions. He was seeking a more personal perspective about the homeless situation and felt he could better guide future services and plans than what they currently have available. He asked, he wanted to know why someone might choose a sidewalk over a shelter. I didn't feel safe. I absolutely did not feel safe. Okay, Ben. McAdams described it as a very chaotic environment and only got about 4 hours of sleep through the entire night. My heart's fucking breaking for you, guy. 4 hours of sleep. Then he said he talked to other homeless people on the street, got some advice, got some tips, but still felt unsafe. The next day, he tried to go to a shelter, but was turned away due to a lack of beds. He got in line again later on in the afternoon, but was able to snag a mattress. He was drenched by the rain by the time he got indoors, but he was too late to get a blanket, but noted at least it was warmer inside. It's almost like he's realizing how shitty being homeless is. Once inside the shelter, McAdams said he witnessed blatant use of drugs, including his bunkmate injecting drugs into his arm. He witnessed a fight between two men and one man who hit his head on a concrete floor. During his 3 days, it wasn't even a full 3 days, during his 2.5 days experiencing life as a homeless man, McAdams said his time was consumed by solving two pressing needs. One, where am I going to sleep? And two, where am I going to get food? He didn't realize that you have to plan your entire day around that, which leaves little energy left to search for jobs or housing. Did you know that when you're homeless, you have to worry about where you're going to sleep and where you're going to eat?
I learned that at the age of 12.
And that can make it hard to find jobs? Moving forward, McAdams says his encounter reaffirmed his top priorities, moving families out of the shelter's harsh environment, immediately reducing the intolerable lawlessness around the homeless shelters, and he also plans to fence off Rio Grande Street into a courtyard so that homeless individuals are separated from criminal predators. He also hopes to expand behavioral health and treatment beds and to relocate the state liquor store away from the area. Oh, man. As part of the long-term reform effort, the road home will close and 3 new shelters will open. I know that my 3 days and 2 nights is nothing, but it was an insight. I knew that if something happened, I had my health insurance, my family, and a home. My backstop was only a phone call away, and I realized others don't have that luxury. Okay. So I guess we'll keep an eye out in Salt Lake City and see if they actually do anything productive for homeless people, other than close shelters.
Weren't all those fucking news outlets running around talking about that they were, that Utah was eliminating homelessness?
Yep. They said that.
And that shit was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. And then it came back under fire again last winter because a bunch of homeless people froze to death outside. You know. But, you know, he learned things. That's the important part, is that he learned stuff. Good. All right.
Now you keep going.
All right. And then we have, this one is fun. This is apparently how they handle criminals in Europe. Europol police forces are penning postcards to their most wanted fugitives in hopes that increased awareness of crimes will lead to more arrests.
Let's do that again.
Uh-huh. Police forces across Europe are penning postcards to their most wanted fugitives in hopes that increased awareness will lead to more arrests.
They're writing letters.
Yes.
To fugitives.
Yes.
To increase awareness.
Yes.
Of what?
The fugitives.
To tell fugitives that there are fugitives.
Yes.
This is... keep going. There's something's missing.
The fugitives addressed in the Wish You Were Here postcards are accused of serious crimes in 21 European Union countries and are believed to be outside of the countries where they allegedly committed the crimes. While most of us are enjoying a well-deserved summer break, criminals are not taking crime off from crime, says European law enforcement agencies. Holiday destinations have proven to be popular hiding places for criminals on the run from law enforcement. They might have even chosen the same destination as you. The digital cards are posted on Europe's Most Wanted Fugitives website, and people can click to see a photo of the fugitive and more information about them. The cards attempt to entice cheekily their subjects back by pointing out the things they might be missing. For example, service Tibor, we haven't seen you in a while, Austrian police write to Tibor Foko, who's wanted for murder. We have one more space left on our next ski trip. Please come back and enjoy the Alps.
Did they tell them that they're cops?
Yeah.
And did they tell them that they know he's a fugitive?
They have a picture of the postcard here. It's actually got Europol on it. Let me see if I can. We can do that. Yes, those are what the postcards look like. It actually has Europol on it. Yeah.
What the fuck?
To Marco Di Loro, accused of murder, drug trafficking, and robbery, the Italian police wrote him a postcard. Don't you miss the taste of real Italian cuisine prepared with love by someone who knows you? Come back to the sun-kissed shores of Italy for truly authentic food and experience you'll never forget.
Quit stereotyping Italians to be a bunch of fucking foodies. Like, he's offended now and he's not going to come to you.
Oh, that's the reason why he's not going to go back?
Yes.
Not the murder charge, the drug trafficking, and the robbery charges?
No, that's busy work.
Busy work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's highly implausible that the fugitives will answer the fawning messages from law enforcement, but police are hoping members of the public will share the postcards. The more postcards that can be seen, the better chance police have of locating these criminals. let's see. Dear Arthur, Belgian fries are the best and we know you miss them. Come back and enjoy them. We'll have a nice surprise in store for you. Greetings from Belgium.
So they're going to take a bite of that food just so they can eat prison food for the rest of their shit?
They're really good fries, man.
No they're not.
Dear Kedvis Victor, we know you like spiced stuff, so we have prepared a very special spiced goulash for you. Please come back. Signed, the police.
The police.
Signed, the police, man. What? They're just trying to, like, do community outreach and stuff. Woo! They're just trying to, you know, they're trying to... Stuff. Uh-oh, did we lose the music? We did. Thank you.
No, we didn't. The thing is, at the end of that instrumental, I think it's Sierra Goodies.
Oh, yes.
There's Dead Air.
Oh.
Yeah, so it... I mean, the next one will start, but yeah, there's like 2-3 minutes of dead air.
Oh, I see. Oh, Sophia in the chat room says, don't talk shit about fries.
About... That says frites. F-R-I-T-T-E-S.
Frites.
What is that?
Food. Probably because you're making fun of Italians being foodies.
That word means food?
Yes, it's a type of food.
What is it?
Like a frittata.
What the heck darn is that?
It's food you eat. And you're with your face.
Cow?
No, I think it's,
chicken?
No, I think it's like a vegetarian dish.
Oh, that's not food.
Okay.
No, that's just, that's a pretentious
that's
snack.
That's not food.
Anything and it's only because vegetarians and vegans did that to themselves.
Really?
Particularly the white ones.
Really?
The white ones and the Hotep ones.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Damn, I'm trying to make myself taller in the seat.
There you go, it's that egg thing. It's like a frittata.
Wait, so there's egg, but it's vegetarian?
Yeah. Eggs are not meat.
Oh,
they're
it's
protein.
Okay if you eat baby chickens, you fucking abortionist. If you eat baby chickens,
what?
It's okay.
Hate? Oh, there's so much hatred over the frittata, man. Just go to Italy and get yourself a frittata.
It's okay to eat it if it's a fetus. She said it's Belgium fries. Why don't they come up with their own thing? Like, wait, if it's fries, it's potatoes. If it's not potatoes, it's other things.
Oh, man.
Ah!
Yeah, just, it's okay. Some people are foodies, and that is okay. Let them live. Meanwhile, in Florida...
Fuck.
A 73-year-old Florida man has been banned... ...from several Florida beaches... ...after a parent complained he was handing out business cards that read...
No.
Sugar daddy seeking sugar baby. Volusia County Beach Safety Captain Tammy Maris confirmed Saturday that Richard Basaraba has been told to stay off the county's public beaches and walkovers for the next 6 months for violating an ordinance that prohibits soliciting on the beach. Basaraba told Daytona Beach News Journal he's, quote, devastated by what he considers to be an overreaction of officials. He said he wasn't trying to entice anyone into doing anything illegal when he handed out business cards to a group of girls. Okay. On Daytona Beach on Saturday.
You should have said, y'all motherfuckers seek the services of, like, your city officials and shit, nigga. Y'all seek the services of sex workers, too. Fuck you. It's mad because I'm a pro.
If you're a pro, you probably wouldn't have to hand out your own business cards, though.
Yeah, he is.
Nah.
It's
no.
Florida. See, you gotta... It's like the metric system. It's a whole, all right. It's a whole different way of measurement when you're fucking with Florida.
Uh-huh.
In Florida, being 73 on the beach, handing out business cards, that's, as Gusty Renegade would say, no metaphors, being direct.
No. However, the mother of one of the 16-year-old girls who got a business card complained to authorities after her daughter told her about the incident. The girl told officials the man handed her and her friends business cards while they were at the beach. It pictured a younger woman sitting on a lap of an older man wearing a business suit. Printed on the card was an email address and accompanying text, "Ask me about your monthly allowance."
16. You were in your late 50s when she was born. You had already seen 5 decades and change.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to people in their early 20s. I'm 34. I don't like talking to other 30-year-olds.
It's It's because you're granddad. A Beach Patrol report says Basaraba told the 16-year-old she could contact him when she's 18. Okay. Okay. You know, obviously, yes, he's attempting to solicit sex workers, which is fine, but it is rather creepy to just go up to teenage girls and be like, hey.
Yeah, don't go to teenage girls, you fucking goof. Go to, like, a fucking, what, where they do, like, fucking, where people are, like, in their PhD classes. You know,
they have entire websites dedicated to people looking for sugar babies and sugar daddies. Like, there's
websites for that. His old ass don't know how to work no web. That's why he has a business card. If he had a Twitter, he'd be doing it there.
Donald Trump is in his 70s and has a Twitter.
He doesn't do a very good job with it, Kofefe. Well,
that's not the point, and it's Kofefe.
I like Fefe.
It's Fefe.
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 It's Fefe.
It's a Fefe that you put inside the vase. What? In the living room.
It's a vase, nigga.
Vase.
It's called a vase.
It's a vase.
Y'all see what I have to put up with?
Yeah, the real word. Vase. Damn.
The moral of the story is don't be creepy and see Fefe.
Sophia Loco said we're fucking up.
Yeah, because you were talking shit about her fries.
Oh. Yeah, I was. Because they're not good. What? And wait, it's egg, but it's vegetarian.
Oh, I was talking about a frittata. I thought that was another word for the thing I was talking about. She was talking about fries. I was talking about a frittata.
That's like how Ben Carson is hip-hop. Because we all are. Poison.
This is why you have no friends.
No, it's not. That's not the reason. I'm charismatic and very likable. I could have lots of friends. I don't fucking like people.
Okay, Captain Kofefe.
I bet you if I started talking to people in this apartment complex, they'd be knocking on the door regularly. Can William come out and play? Like, everybody would want
to
play.
You would have to convince them of that because right now they're scared of you, so.
I'm too used to hosting. You say stuff.
All right, I'm going to say stuff. I think that we tagged this as inmates pay homage to George Washington Carver. Yeah. Inmates use peanut butter to escape an Alabama prison. This is fun. The Alabama peanut butter caper was not the most sophisticated jailbreak, but it did the trick. Some inmates in Walker County Jail in Jasper saved peanut butter from their sandwiches and used it like modeling clay to help alter the number above a door that led to the outside. The change made the number resemble the ones above cell doors. When an inmate demanded a rookie guard open the door, the guard thought he was letting the inmate back into his cell. Instead, on Sunday evening, a dozen inmates walked right through the door and made their escape. Changing some numbers on the door with peanut butter, that may sound crazy, said the county sheriff, James Underwood. But these people are crazy like a fox. Okay, aside from the ableism, what the fuck does that even mean? Why do people assume a fox would be mentally unstable? I don't fucking get it. Anyways, 12 inmates escaped, and by Tuesday night, all had been recaptured. Maybe they should have spent more time into their getaway plan as opposed to the peanut butter plan. Sheriff Underwood said it took about 8 hours to take the first 11 inmates, and the 12th was captured Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. The inmates who escaped ranged in age from 18 to 30 and were facing charges that included disorderly conduct, domestic violence, and attempted murder. Oh my God. If I was breaking out of jail, I'm not sure if I was in for disorderly conduct, I would trust the attempted murder guy? No. However, with tips and help from the public, most were recaptured in the Jasper area, officials said. We've got some evil people down here, said Sheriff Underwood. They scheme all the time to con us and our employees here at the jail. You have to stay on your toes. This is a time we slipped up. I'm not going to make any excuses. It was human error that caused this to happen. Built in 1998, Walker County Jail holds about 240 inmates and is surrounded by razor wire fence. As part of their well-laid-out plan, the sheriff said the inmates threw blankets over wire to get over it. Two escapees were cut as they fled. One of those inmates was hospitalized so he could have his thumb sewn... Oh, shit. So he could have his thumb sewn back on. You must be really trying to get out of some shit if you're willing to get your fucking thumb cut off. All right. The inmates, who then discarded their orange jumpsuits, took advantage of a young fellow who hasn't been here very long, the sheriff added. The guard had been monitoring about 140 inmates in the control area, and would not specify how the guard would be disciplined, but said, "We will take care of the matter." Sheriff Underwood also said civilians outside the jail could be charged with crimes if they assisted in the escape. This is just fun. So they're all back now, but I am just amused at the peanut butter caper in which they broke out of prison using peanut butter. That's kind of fucking awesome. A little bit disingenuous. And yeah, I also have questions. What disgusting grade of peanut butter, as Sophia says in the chat room. I do kind of wonder what kind of peanut butter would be hard enough that you could use it to model, use it as putty, and put it on a door. I have questions. Well, I guess that's prison food, right? Using peanut butter like modeling clay. Yeah, so we'll follow up on that and see who's getting charged with what. I imagine that they're going to get time added to their sentences now. We will keep up on it. I love it. Let's see. Moving along, what else do we have here? I have too many, you know my problem is I have too many stories because white people just be doing all kind of wild ass shit. Honestly. They do. Oh, now you're back. You missed about how inmates used peanut butter to con a guard to let them out of prison.
Huh.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, they didn't?
They did. Uh-huh. Actually, they did.
Was it the crunchy peanut butter?
It was smooth.
Was it Peter Pan peanut butter?
Maybe.
Peter Pan peanut butter?
Maybe.
Did their mothers suggest the peanut butter?
It was not Jif.
Inmates don't have choosy moms.
Maybe. Oh man, that makes me sad. Well, maybe that's why they're inmates. They need choosy moms in their life. We have a Russia story that's actually kind of fun and actually relevant. Did you know that in courthouses in Russia they have shootouts? Did you know that?
No, they don't.
They do.
They hack the bullets.
You're not funny.
I am.
You're not funny.
Yeah.
No.
Very much so.
Oh, see, Sophia says choosy inmates choose Jif. They do.
Choosy inmates choose Jif. There are no choosy inmates.
They chose to escape from prison.
Aren't they back?
Well, they didn't choose to stay free.
Oh.
They just chose the escape part. All right, Moscow, Russia. Three gang members were killed after they disarmed guards and opened fire in a courthouse in the Russian capital, according to state media. The three were part of a group of five gangsters from the GTA Street Gang, who tried to seize guards' weapon in an elevator. The defendants were being taken to trial. My lap is not a plate, sir. He just dropped chicken in my lap.
I was the leverage it flung.
All right, Will Turner. These defendants were being taken to trial at the regional courthouse in the outskirts of Moscow. Three of the arrested were killed trying to flee the scene. A bailiff and armed guard also suffered bullet wounds in the attack, according to lawyer Sophia Rubaskaya, who was in the building at the time. Two policemen were also wounded. All right, so they shot a bailiff, a guard, two cops, and three inmates died. That sounds like a fun day at the courthouse. No? That's a fun day at the courthouse.
I already told you what happened. They hacked the bullets.
The bullets did not get hacked.
Yeah, they did.
More than 20 shots were fired, and the entire building had to be evacuated. I saw a wounded bailiff, and later somebody said that another armed guard had been injured. Though the incident is not thought to be terrorist-related, and the court has resumed its hearings, the members of the GTA gang, which took its name after a computer game, Oh, so they thought that they were playing a computer game and they could get away with this. That's why they're called GTA Grand Theft Auto Gang?
A what kind of game?
A computer game.
And what happened to the bullets?
Shut up! The bullets did not get hacked.
Alright, I put two and two together before you even got to that part of the story, fool.
No. But really, the GTA gang, so they thought that they could just pull off a heist and, alright. What?
Sophia has an alternate white Sona. Who is that? Let us know.
Probably somebody like Abby, where you don't get suspended on Facebook and social media for saying words. Anyways, so they're named after the Grand Theft Auto game. That makes you sound hardcore, I guess. And they are charged with murders of car drivers in the Moscow Kaluga regions in 2012 and 2014.
Oh, yeah, they are hardcore then. Shit.
But after it could really? We're the Grand Theft Auto gang, guys.
They named the video game after a serious crime. These guys are just reappropriating what was taken from their culture.
Yeah, they're reappropriating, but they're failing because they're all dead. So.
Live by the gun, die by the hacker. I told you already.
Stop it. You want to stop it. I don't remember what else we put up in here. Let me see.
You did all that.
Yes, but I have a bunch of tabs open. I was like, oh, what am I supposed to do next? I have so many.
Yeah, I was bagging up a couple hundred thousand units of Pepperidge Farm goldfish crackers because apparently lots of people eat that shit.
They taste good.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? Why am I... I work in a packaging plant, and way too many of you motherfuckers are eating some bullshit. But keep eating it. Goldfish I have a job.
Goldfish crackers are healthy. They're baked. Not fried.
They're grody.
You're grody. Oh, exhibitionism meets capitalism.
I like how you say it like that's not my title.
Yes. What? What's wrong with reading it like that? I like it like that, because that's a good fucking title.
Also, that's your style. Like, you yell.
What? I do not.
You do. You yell. You got the football mom yell.
The football mom yell?
You're a Midwest suburbanite. That's your style.
What the fuck is the foot? Is that different than other kinds of yelling? What?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Looking jazzed up. Gets people pumped.
See?
You can't help it. You pumped yourself up. It's how white women turn into DMX. Yelling at each other. I said, mind your business, Gretchen. Oh, excuse.
Mind your business, Gretchen. All right. Wait, where is this one at? Oh, hey, we made it back to Florida.
Why?
Because Florida's awesome for stories for White on White Crime Wednesday.
I'm not going back.
I wouldn't either, especially after reading some of these stories. Headline, bank robber strips naked and runs down Los Olas Boulevard throwing money.
That's cool. How come this shit? I'm never around when people are running around throwing money. Naked or not, I really don't care how you're dressed. But if you're throwing money, like, email me something. I want to know when this is happening. I want to be at the money throwing event. I'll be right there doing all sorts of interceptions, nigga. I'll be an NFL motherfucker, nigga, catching all the...
Catch all the money.
Gotta catch them all.
Catching all the money, throwing all the elbows.
Because I'm Brokemon, nigga.
Brokemon. Okay.
Shit.
All right. Gotta catch them all. A naked man was caught running around downtown Fort Lauderdale and was enough to turn heads on its own. But there was more. But wait, there's more. According to the FBI, he had robbed a bank and was throwing the stolen money at people, making an even bigger spectacle. Alexander Hayden Sperber.
What the fuck?
That's a horrible name.
Why does he sound like he was in the Whig Party? Alexander Hayden Sperber. What the? Egon Spengler ass name.
Sperber. Age 25 of Fort Lauderdale parked his red Ford Mustang. You have a Mustang? The fuck you robbing a bank for, nigga? Yes.
25.
Yes.
Who had a kid in the 90s and named them that?
I don't know.
Fuck
somebody
animals.
Who's a fan of Hayden Christensen? An actor?
Right?
I don't know.
1992, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So Alexander Hayden Sperber, 25 of Fort Lauderdale, parked his red Ford Mustang, which I don't know why you're robbing a bank if you can afford a Mustang at age 25.
He was also running naked and throwing the money.
It's a Bernie bro.
I'm okay with that. Like, that's what he said. I have way too much privilege. I'm going to ruin my life and give some other people a payday while I do it.
Yes.
Because fuck it. I mean, his parents are going to get him out of this any goddamn way.
Probably.
Now Sperber has money behind
him. Oh, Jessica in the chat room said Florida Robin Hood. Maybe.
That's the fuck he is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He went into a Regions Bank branch on 3rd Avenue around 3:06 p.m. and extending his index finger as if to depict... What? Okay. I'm just going to read the whole thing and just, yeah. He parked near a Regions Bank on 3rd Avenue, went in around 3:06 p.m. and extending his finger as if to depict a gun, pointed it at the teller. This nigga didn't even have a gun, he just used his hand.
That's how scared even other white people are of white people. Like, quit fronting like you don't know about each other.
Alright, Sperber claimed he also had a gun and told the teller he would hurt her and others if his needs weren't met. Okay. She put approximately $4,700 in a bag he provided. Among the cash was a red dye pack, and as Sperber left, it exploded, leaving colorful evidence on his clothes. And that's when he made his memorable appearance on Los Olas Boulevard, authorities say. He then stripped down.
Yep.
Threw the money running down the street. That's awesome. After his arrest, Sperber told a special agent when he woke up Tuesday, he decided to, quote, rob a bank and flee by running naked down the street while throwing the stolen money in order to begin his career as a comedian.
Ha! That's fantastic.
All right, nigga.
I will go to that show. If he does the same act again, I'll take penis money. I'm fine with that.
So he went to a bank, held it up with his hand pointed like a gun, got the money, took his clothes off, started throwing the money around the street, and did that to launch his career as a comedian. Sometimes Florida is a national treasure.
I'm all out of flute work. I'm all out.
Oh man. And let's see. Oh, according to an eyewitness, Drew Armstrong, he saw Sperber but couldn't believe what his eyes were telling him. He ran past me, and then a lady passed me. I looked at her and said, "Was he naked?" And she was like, "Yeah, he was naked."
You can't run that fast. You don't have to ask someone. You can just fucking look at him. Like, he's not running that fast. You can still see him. Be like, "Yep, those are butt cheeks right there."
Yes.
That is a flappy bag swinging in the breeze.
Fort Lauderdale police arrested Sperber on 4th Street and officers wrapped him in a yellow tarp. Out of concern for his health, they called paramedics. Doctors there found Sperber to be conscious, coherent, and uninjured. He is charged with one count of bank robbery and his lawyer could not be identified. That's fucking fun. I should have saved that one for the last one. That was like way funnier than I thought it was going to be. Yes!
Fucking Sperber, man.
Oh, man.
Sperbonian.
Sperbonian.
Oh, wait, you delete those?
They're in the thread.
Oh.
Still, I just opened up all the tabs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Texas. Do we want Texas?
Not where you're going.
We do Texas.
Wrapping it the heck up.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to do this one as the last one. This isn't, like, specifically white-on-white crime. I'm just fucking amused.
That's happened before when the black dude was in the street, in the middle of the street, eating pancakes. That was the shit.
Wait, what?
One of the white-on-white crimes. Like, I broke the white rule to talk about the black dude in the middle of the street eating pancakes. And then he timed it so well. Finished all his pancakes, got up, left, and by the time police showed up, he was already gone. So he's just an unknown man in a picture that was eating pancakes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This one I'm amused by because, well, here's the headline. Millions of gallons of Mexican waste threaten U.S. Border Patrol agents. Yeah. What? Yeah.
You know, Mexico's hard. That's kind of like in 2013 when they beat us in obesity. Like, they are more American than us.
Yeah. Millions of gallons of toxic chemicals and raw sewage are being dumped by Mexico into the Tijuana River, surrounding valleys and U.S. beaches at the U.S.-Mexico border, sickening border control agents.
Ha. Fucking rapist. Fuck those guys.
But those on the front lines say the U.S. has really done little to force Mexico to literally clean up its act. Okay.
The fuck?
Clean up its act.
Ha. America is telling someone else to do some environmental work.
Yes.
All right. Fine.
Some 59 Border Patrol agents have reported getting sick in the last 3 months after exposure to pollutants while working along the border. One agent suffered severe chemical burns on his feet after toxic chemicals burned through his boots.
Good. Fuck your boots, nigga.
Fuck your feet, nigga.
Those two.
That information was provided by the U.S. Border Patrol local sick... Wait, police? They get a fucking Border Patrol union? All right. They have their own union, apparently.
Yeah, those are the only unions that fucking right-wingers support.
All right.
And the so-called left.
Mm. All right, so apparently they have their local 1613 Border Patrol union. The union is now threatening legal action that could result in almost 300 people being stationed at the Imperial Beach Border Patrol Station.
So put more people near the sludge?
Okay, can we just talk about how the fact it's called the Imperial Beach Border Patrol Station? Imperial, you say?
Ist?
You say?
Ism?
I say.
Jews.
That wasn't our fault this time.
Huh?
Huh?
Huh? You're so many things that a lot of stuff is your fault. You're Mexican, too.
That's just according to your coworkers. Anyways, so, all 300 people at the Imperial Border Station could have to abandon their posts along the vast border between San Diego and Mexico. Border Patrol union leaders blame U.S. government agencies, Congress, everyone blames Congress, and the International Boundary and Water Commission for not aggressively addressing the continuing environmental pollution and health hazards. The organization is an independent U.S. commission directed by the State Department that oversees the management of the river. Hmm.
This is a perfect instrumental for this story.
Because it oversees sanitation, water quality, and flood control, the IBWC has become the focus of outrage by local government, as well as local officials, and the Border Patrol. It's going to get to a point where they can't patrol down there. This is a national security issue, says Christopher Harris, secretary for the union, which represents almost 2,000 Border Patrol bargaining unit employees. Who the fuck calls... How do they get these titles? Border Patrol Bargaining Unit? They get bargaining rights too? What the fuck, man?
Yeah, man. If you have a hard bargain, it'll make your head spin.
Nah, that's just the toxic sludge.
Yeah, that too. It'll burn your fucking boots.
It'll burn your boots.
You pull yourself up by your burnt boots, nigga. And your raggedy ass feet.
See, now, can he still pull himself up by his bootstraps if his boots got eaten away?
Maybe if he works hard enough. I didn't have fucking, I didn't even have boots. Pull my shit up.
There you go.
Fuck what you, Nick.
If a judge rules that our agents cannot work in that area, we are going to cede this back to a no man's land. Okay. Is that fucking horrible? No. Harris warned, noting this would leave a vast area of the border open to Mexican cartel smuggling fugitives. All right. During a tour of the U.S. border, U.S.-Mexican border arranged by the union, he said that he had to halt his ATV patrols, according to Joel Sevilla, a U.S. Army veteran who has been a patrol agent for 9 years. I like doing what I do. I bet you fucking do. But now it's come to a point every night I have headaches, and every day I have headaches and nasal pains, and I had to stop.
Ha!
Horrible. You can't go around torturing, raping, shooting, and terrorizing people. Numerous agents have suffered from gas inhalation, chemical burns, and lung damage and infections. The mayor of the city of Imperial Beach, one of the beachfront communities most impacted by the pollution, said that between 30 and 40 million gallons of sewage are discharged daily onto the beach from Mexico's Punta Banderas sewage treatment plant six miles south of the border. And during south swells and south winds, the sewage washes up on U.S. beaches.
That'll be something different with you hosting. You pronounce shit right. I wouldn't have said it like that. What'd that word say right? Where is it?
Punta Banderas?
I don't say it. That says, all right, so that would have really said Sergey Durdiner, the mayor of the city Imperial Beach, one of the beachfront communities most impacted by the pollution, said that between 30 and 40 million gallons of sewage are discharged daily onto the beach from Mexico's Punta Banderas border. Which is the proper way to pronounce it.
Punta Banderas.
That sounds a lot like the insult word.
But Punta.
The insult word doesn't have the letter N, right?
Correct.
That's right.
See what happens when you add an N.
Damn, see, that's too tricky. That's why I wouldn't even say that around somebody, because they're going to be like, the fuck you call me? I ain't your death. I'm not dangerous.
Uh-huh.
I push buttons and run up and down stairs for a living. I'm not dangerous.
Let's see. Mexican sewage also flows into the U.S. from the Tijuana River, and there was a power outage affecting a sewage plant in Mexico, which means it's not uncommon for raw sewage to be discharged to the U.S. on that side of the border, according to Sergey Dedina. The city of Imperial Beach is planning its own legal action over Clear Water Act violations, Dedina added. We can no longer tolerate our own government allowing this to happen. What? They want regulations all of a sudden?
Shut up and accept getting shit on.
So apparently not all government regulations are bad.
Yeah, nigga, they're just giving you a German push-up, nigga. Fuck out of here.
Oh, God.
What?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
What, nigga? Two puntas, one cup.
Oh, no.
Huh?
No.
Huh? No. Freedom.
The trouble with Mexico's broken sewage system came to the forefront in February when 250 million gallons of raw sewage poured from Mexico into the river and then into the ocean for 17 days after the city of Tijuana's sanitation system had broken down. No Mexican officials disclosed the hazard, but 200,000 people living in South San Diego, Imperial Beach, and Chula Vista could smell the throat-burning raw sewage from a mile away. That's hilarious to me. They fucking knew it happened and didn't tell the U.S. Maybe y'all should stop being assholes. No? No? We were told on August 4th by the highest level of American officials that the Mexican federal government has abandoned efforts to support the issue. I don't think Mexico's doing it on purpose. It's just that I don't think they care. That's fun. That's fun. I like that story.
It is.
Yes.
Now, this is still on the job training. Phoenix Cleaver's doing all the clicking and whatnot. But you're not doing a lot. I didn't see you didn't check your decibels not once through
not
the program.
Once, not once.
Jesus Christ.
I have faith in the decibels.
We don't do it's the greatest black atheist show. We don't faith.
What?
What?
Faith? You can't have faith? Was it this one?
No, I was listening the whole time. Oh. Except for when I was in the kitchen microwaving chicken.
And then dropping it on my lap.
Yeah, that piece flung. That was me sloppily getting it with the fork and knife.
Oh, that it doesn't let you see it when you just cut the preview. That's bullshit. Fine.
Yeah, but yeah, you can see you're still coming up and you're still on top of the music instead of the music being over you. Right? And then what do you tell the folks?
Thanks for tuning in. Don't mind this guy. Pretty soon he's,
gone.
He's gonna be gone. I'm gonna be doing this myself. And Raymond is gonna be co-hosting, so that'll be exciting. in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter, @UppityNegress, 2 P's, 2 T's. You still aren't using your Twitter, right?
You use it.
I do.
Yeah, like, I just look there, and I get notifications because I get retweeted by you from a tweet that you put on there through Facebook. Like, she makes Facebook posts that are automatic tweets through my profile, and I get retweeted by her to her followers. So basically, yeah, she uses my Twitter as a go-between from Facebook to her Twitter.
Yes. We live in the future. We can do all the futuristic shit.
That's right.
Yes. And also, please help us support the program. Keep us going. Patreon. You gonna do your funny voice? Oh, no.
No, you gotta start coming up with your own funny
voices. I don't have funny voices.
Yes, you do.
Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund.
You have a British character, a German character? You do all of those accentuations.
I don't have a funny voice.
No, not your regular voice.
My regular voice is not funny. I need to develop these characters, apparently.
Yeah, read a story all as the Russian. All
right.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, y'all. We will see. Also, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam. We will be back tomorrow to do stuff. Free Thought Thursday. I think it is going to be a sex worker positive episode. There is the Would You Date a Sex Worker going around various forums on social media.
You shouldn't. You're not mature enough. There's no, like, you're too... like, whoever you... if you're thinking about it, you're too childish and... Don't stop.
Don't do it.
Stay in your lane, as one might say.
So I think that might be the free thought topic. And then, of course, news stories. I'll also do... I guess I'm doing the Lavender Media LGBT news updates.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. We're going to send that shit to them. We might just be the new... We might be the new gay niggas.
That's gonna be the shit. That'll be the shit. If you've seen the program, we used to do that as a break. They still tweet and they still put the articles up on the website, but they don't have the audio anymore, so we can't use that. So I've been going there looking for stories, and I think gonna do that and just throw it in on our show.
Yeah, I mean, we already got... I mean, well, it tilted, but already mostly women listen to me talk about misogyny, so that's a fair deal. So yeah, sure, gay people should also listen to me talk about gay. Like, fine. Like, I really am the splainer.
You are. You're the splainer in chief.
I might as well be quiet. Damn, and then it goes to an image of me facepalming. Podcast listeners aren't going to get it. I just facepalmed myself.
Congratulations, you played yourself. All right, everybody have a good night. Check us out tomorrow. And I think that is that. All right, bye.